no
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This week on the Relic Radio Show, our hour of radio drama begins with Theater 5. We'll hear their story from May 10th, 1965, titled Lift to Beyond. After that, it's Cavalcade of America and Spy on the Killicycles, their episode from October 8th, 1945.
Now, go real nice, Sally. Mind what day this is. They think we're old, you and me, ready for the junk heap. Why, you're a young elevator, spry as a cricket. We're coming. Who was it said, take no thought for the morrow? I don't just recollect, but it's what we'll do. We got today, Nellie. A lot can happen in a day.
Theater 5 presents Mr. Edgar Staley in Lift to Beyond.
There, Nellie. First passenger this morning. Someone wants us up on two. Now, go real nice, Nellie. Mind what day this is. They think we're old, you and me, ready for the junk heap. Today, we'll show them different. Why, you're a young elevator, spry as a cricket. Look how quick and smooth you go. We're coming. Who was it said, take no thought for the morrow? I don't just recollect, but it's what we'll do. We got today, Nellie. A lot can happen in a day. We've got yesterday, too. Remember when me and Jimmy Walker rode with us? A real dandy in his high silk hat. And Caruso every Sunday to visit his friend. And... Can't you go a little faster, Nellie? Ah, that's a good girl. Oh, my darling Nellie Gray, they have taken you away. Oh, no. No, no, not in those words. I won't let anyone take you away. And that's a promise, Nellie.
Oh, good morning, Charlie.
Oh, it's you, Miss Emma. Yeah, I got your milk right here.
Oh, Charlie. Whatever will I do without you?
Oh, don't talk like that, Nellie hears.
Oh, but it's her last day.
Yeah.
Tomorrow she...
That's what people think. But we know things, Nellie. And me. Secret things.
Oh, tell me. I love secrets. Only first I think I'll have a little milk. You don't mind, do you, Charlie?
No, no, ma'am, no.
My secret. That's what you know.
No, no. It's another secret. How we'll keep tomorrow from coming.
You can't. You can't. And you're the only one that knows about me. They'll all find out when I have to buy the milk.
Oh, take no thought for tomorrow, Miss Emma. We've got today. A whole day. A lot can happen in a day. See how I shine Nellie up?
Oh, yeah.
The mirror and the mahogany.
And a real red rose in her vase.
Uh-huh.
Oh, she's beautiful, Charlie.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And I brushed her red velvet, too.
Oh, I like those old-fashioned things. Idea of getting a newfangled elevator, all steel and buttons. Run it yourself. I don't want to run it myself. I'll get all mixed up.
Oh, Miss Emma, what's wrong with the world? No room anymore for what's beautiful. An ugly rubber thing to take Nellie's place. Buttons to take my place.
Beauty is up the spout.
Oh.
That's what's wrong. It's like Mr. Davis in 7B said, all anything has to be nowadays is functional.
Buttons to take the place of a man. So I'm 73. Well, who learns a thing worth knowing before the years add up? And time is a friend.
Time hasn't been much of a friend to me. Only you and Nellie.
Oh, Miss Emma, I wouldn't drink any more of that right now if I was you. Now, there's number four. Excuse me, Miss Emma.
You know, almost everyone in this building signed Nellie's petition, but the owner wouldn't even look at it. Mr. Green, he's a mean, pinch-penny man.
Yeah, I have to go, Miss Emma. I think it's Mr. Horton.
Oh, he didn't sign it. No, you tell him for me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I'll tell him. Poor Nellie. Come on, now.
Hey, Charlie, get a move on.
Yes, sir. Oh, he expects us to fly up there. And you're going pretty as you please. Oh, poor Miss Emma. And Mrs. Gates on six. Who'll walk that feisty little dog of hers? Mr. Carr, him in his wheelchair. Why, a new elevator door would slam right on him.
Hey, Charlie!
We're almost there, Mr. Horton. Now, behave yourself, Nellie. Morning, Mr. Horton.
Ah, so the old crate made it, huh?
Oh, watch your step, sir.
Don't I always? Nellie never stopped level with a floor in her life. Okay, come on, let's go.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you brought Miss Emma her nip, did you?
Sir?
Oh, come on now, Charlie. Everyone knows she's a wino.
No, sir. I bring her milk.
And a big's eye you do. And you're all spruced up in your Sunday uniform, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Celebrating your last day?
No, sir. Not celebrating.
Well, I am. Tomorrow, exit Nellie and good riddance.
It'd be better if you didn't talk like that, Mr. Horton.
Oh, would I hurt the old lady's feelings?
Well, my feelings, too. How'd you like it if folks wanted to replace you with buttons?
With buttons? Oh, automation, huh? Look, it's a mechanical age. You think you're the only one? And get these statistics. Every single week in this country, 38,000 workers are replaced by machines.
I am not a statistic, Mr. Horton. I'm a man.
You're a man in his 70s. It's time you retired. Move with the times, onward and upward. Poor old Nellie's got asthma, rheumatism, and the bend. She can't move on or up or down. Hey, see what I mean? Stalled.
Because you talked mean to her.
Oh, by George, she did conk out just then.
Yes, sir.
Oh, come on. You stop to yourself.
No, sir. Nellie knows things.
Oh, rot, get moving. I haven't got all day.
We have.
What?
Nothing, sir.
Well, come on. Let's go. Oh, for 5-6 times a day, this mule stuck between floors. It's a wonder to me Mrs. Stewart didn't have her baby in here last week.
Nellie, don't stall when there's an emergency. Never.
Oh, sure, that's your story.
40 years she never stalled when she shouldn't. And if Mr. Green would buy her a new cable, she'd go 40 years more.
All right, so she's queen of the May. Just get her airborne. Speak to the old witch.
Nellie.
Look, would it help if I jump up and down?
No, don't do that, Mr. Horton. Nellie don't like it. If you'll just be quiet, she'll go. Nellie. There.
Thank heaven, only one more day of this old rattle trap.
Yes, sir. One more day.
You the building super?
Yeah, Fred Johnson.
I'm the electrician.
I didn't send for any electrician.
Armstrong and Company. Here to disconnect an elevator.
Well, you're a day early. That's tomorrow.
No, it's today, chum. Here's the order.
Why, this thing's wrong.
It says today, don't it? So let's get that elevator to the basement. Come on, the wreckers will be here in half an hour.
No, wait. You'll have to come back tomorrow.
Look, I got a full day tomorrow. Today, too. Come on.
Do you want to break Charlie's heart?
Who's Charlie?
Our old elevator man. He's run the thing for 40 years. Calls it Nellie, like it's his girlfriend or something. Talks to it and buys it roses.
What? He's off his rocker?
No, just a nice old guy in his dotage. Thinks he's got this one last day. It means a lot to him. You come back tomorrow.
Hey, now, how are you only like the bill if I'm here twice, huh? He's paying right now, portal to portal. Wreckers on their way. Paying for that, too. Twice? How the boss like that, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so let's get on the ball.
No, wait. I'll call him on the house phone.
All right, make it snappy, will you?
Yes?
Mr. Green, this is Fred. The elevator crew came a day early. It's a dirty trick to Charlie. Can I tell him to come back tomorrow?
They charge extra for it?
Well, yes.
Now, listen here, Fred. I'm sick of this sentimentality. Petitions, phone calls, two tenants giving notice. What's one sinking day?
To Charlie, it's something big. I don't know exactly what, but it's big.
It's big to me, too. It's money. Tell the crew to go ahead.
No dice. Now, look, fella, we'll have to con Charlie a little, okay?
The kooks you meet in this business. All right, let's go.
Take us down, will you, Charlie?
Who's he?
Just a handyman.
What's in that toolbox?
Tools? What else? Move aside, let's on.
He can walk down.
Hey, I gotta have the elevator down there.
I knew what you hit hurt Nellie.
Now, calm down, Charlie. He's here to inspect it, that's all.
Inspect for what?
For tomorrow. Find out what has to be done.
Well, let him find out tomorrow.
Listen, old man, you're lousing up my schedule. And I take this pile of junk to the basement.
You get away from here. Don't you touch Nellie. You want to stop her a day early.
No, Charlie.
We got this day and nobody can't take it away.
Charlie!
Come on, Nellie.
Charlie, wait. Come back here.
Stop between floors, Nellie. That's a good girl.
Charlie!
It's Mr. Green. Yes, sir.
You get down here.
Oh, my darling Nellie Gray, they can't take my Nellie away. How are those for words? Nellie, huh?
Get down here or you'll lose your pension.
We don't want a pension. We want this day and we'll have it.
I know you will. I'll get you out of there.
Oh, Charlie, quit playing games. What's one day?
I'll tell you what a day is. It's our life. You take it away and you're murderers.
Mr. Green, can we quit this hide and seek?
No.
Hold up a minute. I got an idea.
Well?
I stopped on five. I'll stay here on three. You make a lot of racket getting to five, so he'll think I'm with you. He usually goes two floors, so maybe he'll stop here and I can jerk the door open.
We tried that.
Sure, we tried it. We tried everything, so why don't we quit?
I won't be made a fool of by a crazy old galoot.
Excuse me, but he's already done that.
Oh, shut up! Wouldn't you think that blasted thing would get stuck? Every day it balks, but not today.
Mr. Green.
Yes?
I heard you just now, and I'll tell you why Nellie isn't stuck.
Oh.
Charlie says she never sticks when it's an emergency. And this is an emergency, see? It's Charlie's emergency.
Indeed.
And I think it's wicked of you to chase a poor old man.
Madam.
Why, he's a captain that won't leave his ship.
Miss Emma, you'd better get on down to your apartment.
And the idea of two grown men racing up and down the stairs like the wild Indians. Excuse me, please.
What's that?
That's a thermos of milk if Charlie gets thirsty.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Charlie, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, Miss Emma.
There's milk on three by the door. Pick it up when those bloodhounds are someplace else.
Now, madam.
Now, gentlemen, why don't you just run up and down some more?
Here we we go around the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush, the mulberry... Shh, listen. Oh, they've come down from 10. Here we go around the mulberry bush so early in the morning. Better get moving. Let's pass them and tease them up to 12, Nellie. Right to the top. Nellie. Oh, move, Nellie. Oh, don't do this. They'll get us.
I'm stuck. Right below, between floors. Grab the door. Now get on top of that thing, crawl through the hatch.
And do what?
Overpower the old fool.
Mr. Green, I won't do it.
You what? What's the matter with you?
If you want it done, you'll have to do it yourself.
You bet your life I will.
Nellie, start. Oh, I didn't think you'd treat me like this, Nellie. He's on top. He's up there. The vase.
All right, Charlie.
Mr. Green, you come through that hatch, and I've got this vase. I don't hold with hurting anyone, but I'll use it, so help me. I'll use it if I have to. Now, you close that trap.
You think you can win with a vase and a red rose, Charlie?
Oh, Nellie, start. She did it. And you can't crawl through that hatch before we hit the top of the building. Faster, Nellie, faster.
Charlie!
One more floor.
Stop it! Stop! For the love of heaven, man!
Close that trap and get off. Nellie don't like you, so you best do it fast. That's all I got to say.
I'll get off, old man. Then you'll hear what I've got to say.
Da 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 da.
Mr. Green, da, da, da. Hold me up.
Yes, sir.
Here. All right. Easy now. You all right, sir?
He'll kill me. He'll smash me against the roof.
No, he wouldn't. Charlie wouldn't do that.
The devil he wouldn't. Charlie!
Yes, sir.
I'm calling the police. I'm charging you with trespassing, robbery, and assault with intent to kill. You'll come out of there and they'll shoot you out. Charlie! You hear me?
Probably talking it over with Nellie.
And they'll shoot that miserable rattle trap for holes!
Oh, it's nice up here on the top floor, Nellie. Peaceful. Nobody chasing us anymore. Just a mite out of reach if they do come. No, I'm not mad at you, Nellie. I know you stole like that just to get Mr. Green's goat. Or likely you were tired, huh? Oh, I made you go so fast and so long. You're about wore out, Nellie girl. 40 years we've had. 40 years. You remember that fire on 6? Stairway of fire, too. We brought all the tenants down and no one hurt. And then 1925, that burglar tied me up with ropes, but you sold him between floors and the police got him. Police. Guns, they'll be here. We got to think of something, Nellie. Oh, you think, you decide. I'm all tuckered out. We had that secret, but I can't remember. They're coming. Think, Nellie. Think. What's the secret? What'll we do? Think, Nellie. What'll we do?
There he is, Sergeant. He's all yours.
All right. Charles Henkel, you're under arrest. Come on along down from there and be quick about it.
You leave us be. Nellie's about to tell me something. Nellie.
No use, Charlie. Come on now.
Officer, you let that poor man alone.
Now, don't bother me, lady. Henkel, you're resisting an officer.
Nellie.
The cable.
Oh, no, it broke.
Thank you, Nellie.
They're falling.
Oh, my God. Nellie,
good
Father in heaven.
Charlie. Charlie.
And he got out when we told him to.
Nellie killed him. He loved her and she killed him.
No! They fooled you all. They tricked you.
Get her downstairs, Fred. She's drunk.
They went away together. They knew all along. They knew the secret.
Oh, shut her up, will you?
And your tomorrow won't ever come.
Theater 5 has presented Lift to Beyond, written by Nancy Moore, directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Edgar Staley, Betty Gard, Ian Martin, James McCallion, Peter Rattray, and George Petrie. Script editor, Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
The DuPont Company welcomes back to the entertainment world former Lieutenant Senior Grade Henry Fonda, United States Naval Reserve, in his first acting role after his 3 years' service. Tonight, Henry Fonda stars in the now-it-can-be-told drama, Spy on the Killer Cycles, on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry. Before our play, here is Gain Whitman.
Mark Twain once said that everybody complained about the weather, but no one did anything about it. Here's something you can do. Tomorrow, you can get that car of yours fully protected against the freeze-up that's sure to strike many sections of the country in the next few weeks, maybe days. Stop at your favorite dealer's tomorrow. Ask him to clean the cooling system of clogging rust and scale with DuPont Cooling System Cleanser. Have leaks stopped with Cooling System Sealer. Have your car protected against freezing, rust, and corrosion by adding a dependable DuPont antifreeze. All of these car protection products are examples of DuPont's better things for better living through chemistry.
Now, for the first time, the story can be told of how government agents checkmated an enemy spy invasion. The DuPont Company presents Henry Fonda in the role of government agent Selden Kramer in Spy on the Killer Cycles and the Cavalcade of America. Our story opens in wartime America. At Dorchester, Massachusetts, government agents are attempting to track down an illegal radio transmitter.
There it is. Did you get it fixed that time?
Somewhere between 90 to 94 degrees. Gosh, Kramer, he doesn't send long enough for me to line him in accurately on this direction finder.
Yeah, it's like trying to get a fix on a will-o'-the-wisp. But we're getting closer. I'll trot it down.
If this turns out to be some high school kid...
Here's Johnson now. Let's see what he got. Hello.
Kramer.
Johnson, did you pick him up that time?
Yes, I did. On still another frequency. In and out, just like before. If it is a spy, he can't be sending much information.
In some codes, he could be sending plenty, even in 10-second flashes. What fix did you get?
Somewhere between 45 and 50 degrees.
45 to 50, huh?
He doesn't give me time to line him up exactly.
Yeah, I know. But somebody is operating a radio transmitter illegally. And we're going to track him down if it takes all year. Stick with it.
If it turns out to be a high school kid, I'll knock his block off.
Let's check our readings on the map. 45 to 50 and 90 to 94 degrees. That should put our mysterious transmitter someplace in this half-mile rectangle. I better run back to Boston and report to the chief.
Sit down, Kramer.
Thanks, Chief.
What about that illegal radio transmitter?
Well, it's tough putting a finger right on it. Whoever does the sending is pretty cagey. His messages are short and snappy. Doesn't give us enough time to pinpoint the location of his transmitter.
Got the approximate fix?
Here, take a look at this. This is a block map of one section of Dorchester. Now, we've got it down this far. The transmitter is located here, right here in this half-mile area.
Uh-huh. But you can't get a pinpoint on it.
Not so far. We've combed that neighborhood for hours. We know every foot of it. But this cookie goes on, sends a couple of words in code, and then he's off before we get the chance to nail him.
So, what's next?
Well, we got a list of every pre-war amateur radio operator in the district. Willard and Johnson are checking on them now.
Good. And while they're doing that legwork, I can use you on another little job.
But, Chief, we got to run down that transmitter.
The other men can handle that for the time being. Here, look at this, Kramer. I want you to run down this gadget.
What is it, Chief?
That's what I want to know.
Looks like aluminum.
No, it's some kind of alloy, I think.
Huh. Funny looking thing. Where'd you get it?
Oh, sent in by some vacationist. Says she found it on the beach.
Another crank?
Could be.
Well, so far we've had packages from Subways, unopened boxes containing everything from fruitcake to Limburger cheese. And now we've got a metal tube with hinges that open up.
And I want to know what it is.
Looks like some new kind of beer can. Don't need an opener. Just press the button and there it is. All right, Chief, I'll run it down and report to you. How about letting Willard keep in touch with me on the other things?
All right, if it'll keep you happy.
Maybe not happy, but I'll feel more satisfied. I just don't like to quit in the middle of a case. Summers, I wish you'd take this gadget and check with Army and Navy. See if they use these things in any of their operations.
Funny-looking thing. Oh, can opener go with it?
Seems to be some sort of a built-in release. Probably some screwball inventor's idea, the new boon to the modern kitchenette bride. Self-opening tin can. What's the word, Summers?
Well, nothing doing as far as Army-Navy is concerned. It's not a flare shell tube. It's not a dye marker tube.
And they have no idea what it might be?
Nope. Everybody fell in line with your notion. It might be a self-opening tin can.
Well, we'll have to try something else.
Yes, Mr. Kramer?
Miss Oakes, will you get me Professor Roy Matthews at MIT?
Yes, Mr. Kramer.
Sorry you couldn't help you out, Kramer. But I wouldn't hazard a guess as to what that thing might be.
Okay, Summers. Thanks for trying.
Glad to help you out any time. See you again, Kramer.
Right.
Bye, Mr. Summers.
Goodbye.
Oh, Mr. Kramer, Mr. Willard is here.
Oh, send him right in. Come right in, Willard.
Hi, Kramer. Here's the stuff, reams of reports.
After all that legwork, rest your feet.
Thanks, my dogs are worn down at the ankles.
Tell me about it. I don't like to read reports.
Well, Johnson and I scoured that half mile till we knew everybody by his first name. There's no transmitter operating, at least none that we could see. Whatever ham sets there were before the war, either dismantled or tucked away.
Sure none of them's been used?
Positive. There are only three. One owned by a kid named Schaff, another by a guy named Collins. The third's owned by a Walter Nedless.
Schaff?
In the Navy.
Collins?
In the Army.
Nedless?
Also Army.
Anyone likely to have been using those transmitters?
Nedless and Collins dismantled theirs. Everything's locked away. Schaff's is in working order, but his mother and sister swear that no one's been near it.
Keep your eye on the place?
Night and day. No one went in or out who didn't belong.
Who belongs?
Schaff's mother and sister and a boarder named Marquette.
What's he like?
Want to read the report?
Nope, you read it.
All right. Jack Marquette, works in Keller Shipyard, welder.
What else, Willard?
That's all.
You think Marquette could get in to operate that transmitter?
It's in Schaff's room. Mother and sister keep the door locked, waiting for the kid to come home.
Okay, Willard. Good work. Stay with it.
Right. Looks like a dead end.
Maybe.
See you later.
We need help on this job. So long.
Hello.
Hello, Kramer. This is Roy Matthews.
How are you, Professor?
Feeling fine, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, some girl found a gadget out on the beach, so today our problem isn't who done it, it's what is it.
What does it look like?
It's sort of a sport model tin can made of some kind of alloy that looks and feels about like aluminum.
Send it over. I'll run it through the lab.
Thanks, Professor. We can always depend on MIT.
Good day, Kramer.
Well, that ought to take care of that.
What is it, Kramer?
Chief, I'd like to take another run down to Dorchester.
Now, look, Kramer. Have you got a girlfriend down there, or don't you think Willard is doing the job?
Oh, you're wrong on both counts. You see, our spy on the kilocycles is still at large, and I'd like to do a little checking.
I appreciate all that, but what about our metal tube?
Now, Summers reports it has nothing to do with Army or Navy, so I'm sending it over to MIT. They're going to run it through the lab.
Good. Maybe if you're a good boy and settle the gadget matter, I'll put you back on that little spy chase.
Huh. I was never off of it. Miss Oakes.
Yes, Mr. Kramer?
On my desk, you'll find a metal container. I want you to pack it up and send it to Professor Roy Matthews at MIT. Enclose a note for me saying, this is it. What is it? Sincerely yours, et cetera, et cetera.
Is that all?
I don't like long letters. And, oh, yes, if Mr. Berman should call, tell him I've gone fishing.
Fishing? You are, Mr. Kramer? Where?
At Dorchester.
I hope you catch something.
Yes, yes, indeed. I hope so, too.
Well, Mr. Kramer, ever since Danny's been away in the Navy, you know, Marcel and I have had to take in boarders. Would you like to see the room?
Yes, I'd like to very much.
Right this way, please. We have only one boarder, a Mr. Marquette, oh, a lovely gentleman. Not a bit of bother, neat as a pin.
Sounds like a wonderful guy to have around, Mrs. Schaff.
Oh, he is. Of course, Marcel and I said we'd never take more than one boarder, but Mr. Marquette's been so wonderful. He's really been no trouble at all. I do hope you're not fussy, Mr. Kramer.
Oh, easiest person in the world to please, Mrs. Schaff.
Oh, here we are, then. Right next to Mr. Marquette.
Good.
Of course, it's a little smaller than Mr. Marquette's, but he's been with us, and he needs a little more room for his hobby.
Hobby?
Yes. Oh, he's so lonely, the poor man. But he does have fun with his photography.
Oh, wonderful hobby.
He passes so much of the time with it. Will $15 be all right, Mr. Kramer?
$15? Oh, that's expensive for just a room, isn't it? I thought something
like that. Oh, that's with board, Mr. Kramer. Oh, you see, the price of food has risen sky high. But if you want to eat out, the price will be $7 a week. Is that all right?
Fine, fine, just fine. I'll pay 2 weeks in advance now.
Oh, that's wonderful. And here's your key, Mr. Kramer.
Thank you. Mrs. Schaff, did you say Marquette works in the day?
Yes. Why?
Well, I have a night shift, and I was thinking about sleeping during the day. Hello, Chief. Over here at the bar.
And what's the idea of having me meet you in this beer joint?
Well, I don't want to attract too much attention over at the rooming house. It's safer here.
And what's this routine your girl gives me about going fishing?
Chief, I think I'm on something pretty hot. Over at this rooming house where I'm staying, there's a guy named Marquette, see?
Kramer, you're the best man I've got in this department, but the most obstinate. I thought I told you to stick to that tin gadget. I've got Willard on his case.
Just a minute, Chief. This is interesting. Listen, here's a guy named Marquette. A nice, steady, dependable boarder. Never goes anywhere, never does anything. At the shipyard, he's considered a good worker.
So?
So, this is my problem, Mr. Anthony. I was wondering about a guy who has photography for a hobby, buys all sorts of developers, fixing baths, but he never buys any film.
How'd you learn that?
I checked at the photographic store where he buys his stuff. And furthermore, why would a guy like that keep bags of grain in his room?
Grain? You mean, wheat, stuff like that?
That's it. Now, why?
You think you've got something?
I know I have. And another thing. His room adjoins Danny Schaff's room. Connecting door between. He could slip in, use a transmitter for a few seconds, then out. Mrs. Schaff and the daughter never would suspect.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll get Willard to jimmy the transmitter so he can't use it.
Oh, no, not yet, Chief.
because I got a rough idea that we might like to know whom he contacts and why.
Hmm. Well, I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess you've got something there, Kramer.
Thanks, Chief.
Oh, by the way, some Professor Pal of yours at the Institute has been calling you.
Oh, Professor Matthews. It's about that metal gadget, I guess.
Oh, good. I certainly hope he knows what it is.
Yeah. Now, about this Marquette, I think...
Now, look, Kramer. This is not your assignment, remember? That tin can gadget is preying on my mind, and I've got to know what it is.
Right, Chief. Okay, I'll run right down to the Institute and find out. Professor Roy Matthews, please. He's expecting me.
Oh, yes, right in there, in the laboratory, sir.
Thank you. Hello, Roy. What's cooking?
Hmm? Oh, hello, Kramer. I didn't hear you come in.
The chief tells me you called.
Yes. Where'd you say you got that gadget you sent in?
Oh, some vacationist sent it to us. Found it on a beach. You mean you're stumped, too?
Not exactly. Come over here by the light.
Don't keep me in suspense.
Well, it's an alloy. German make.
German?
Yeah, they use it in place of aluminum. Now, take a look at it through the microscope. See anything?
Hmm. Are those powder burns on the bottom?
They are.
So?
Notice anything different about it?
You added something, didn't you?
Yeah, just a couple of catches to hold the tube shut. These are spring hinges. The tube closes, and the catches keep the tube from opening. But if a cartridge is fixed to go off and arranged so that the force of the explosion, just a tiny one, pushes a plunger like this, and the tube flies open and releases what's ever inside.
And what's inside? Incendiary bomb?
Oh, nothing that exciting. Here, we'll put some light inside the tube. Now, look through the microscope.
Oh, I don't see anything.
Along the side, those little threads are what look like threads.
Oh, yeah, I see them.
An ornithologist would tell you those were fragments of feathers.
Feathers? Hey, feathers! Grain, wheat!
What's the matter with you?
You did it, Professor, you did it! I'll thank you later. Right now, I gotta get to the office.
You are listening to Henry Fonda as government agent Selden Kramer in the dramatic adventure of The Spy on the Killer Cycles on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company. Maker of better things for better living through chemistry. Government agent Selden Kramer has pieced together several widely separated bits of information, all pointing to activities of the German espionage. He reports his findings to his chief.
And I'm telling you, this is it, chief. That metal can is a pigeon carrier, shot off a German sub. The can flies into the air, the cartridge releases the springs, and the bird takes off.
I get it.
Sure, and it ties right in with Marquette.
Marquette? Now, how do you figure that?
That's why he has grain in his room, for a homing pigeon. A pigeon carrying film. Film. That's why he needs developers fixing solutions.
Okay. Pull him in, Kramer.
No, not yet. Willard and Gilmore are watching his place night and day. They'll pick up any pigeon that comes in, bring it here. Once Marquette gets the message, he'll contact the senders by Schaff's transmitter. Then we'll nail the whole gang. Kramer speaking.
This is Willard. Just snared a pigeon.
Good. Bring him right in and don't spare the horsepower.
Yes?
Chief.
What is it, Kramer?
Willard's on his way in with a pigeon. Have the cryptography man ready to decode any message this bird might be carrying.
I call Kramer. Tell him Willard is here with a pigeon.
He's expecting you, Mr. Willard. Take it right into the dark room next to his office.
Kramer?
Yeah, good work, Willard. Give me that pigeon.
Here it is. Easy.
I thought so. 8-millimeter film in the tube on the pigeon's foot. Now, the first thing we do is develop this film, but fast.
Uh-huh.
Then we make an exact duplicate negative on that optical printing machine. Once we have that duplicate, we put it back on the pigeon, and then Marquette won't know anybody tampered with his messenger or the message. Let's see, what time is it now?
2:30.
Marquette gets home at 5. That gives us 2.5 hours to get set. The film's probably in code. And we've got to break it before Marquette gets the duplicate.
Cryptography men are here, Kramer.
Okay, Chief. Here's the film.
Smithson, put it in a projector. All right, turn out the lights.
There we are. Think you can break it?
Ah,
five-letter groups. All right, boys, let's get to work. A, X, B, X, A, first group. Second group, C, Q, F, T, Y. 12th group, Y, M, A, C, B. Y, M, A, C, B. Oh, it's tough, Kramer.
Now, look, you've got to break it before 5. It's 4:15 now.
Substitute Y for E, get C. Second group under first. Substitute C for Q, get A. That gives us C-A-L-L. Call. Next letter's a no. Work on next group.
Get it fast, boys. It's 4:40.
That's got it, Kramer. Message reads, call 8. Meet Coast Landing Saturday. Radio time and place.
Coast Landing Saturday. Kramer here.
This is Willard. Marquette's on his way home.
Okay, Willard, the job's done, thanks. Marquette's on his way. Open that window. Okay, Mr. Pigeon, if you ever flew fast, you gotta do it now. You're working for Uncle Sam. Did you get it, Willard?
Right.
Is it the same code?
Same code.
Hello, Chief. You still there?
Still with you.
We intercepted this message. The boys are decoding.
Good.
It's just as we suspected. Marquette started transmitting within an hour after the pigeon arrived.
Here's the decoded message.
Here's the message, Chief. Rendezvous Saturday, your sector.
Good going.
And we've got the time and location, Chief.
Good work, Kramer. Better pick up Marquette.
Well, Chief, they sure picked a good black night.
Yeah. I just contacted Navy. They have two lighter-than-air patrols covering the sector awaiting our signal.
Blimps, huh?
Yeah.
That sub won't get back to Germany if the Navy can help it.
Got your sector covered?
Yeah, we got 40 men spotted up and down the beach. If those Heinies try to land anywhere within 5 miles of this place, they're going to be mighty
Johnson
surprised.
Johnson calling.
Chief.
Yeah?
Radio call.
This is Johnson. Marquette left his house at 3:20 this morning. We picked him up. No struggle. A German Luger 38 and a half-mile flashlight. What shall we do with him?
Johnson, bring him down here.
Yeah, don't let him miss the party.
Okay, Willard. Check the sector. The time is 4:22. Everybody on guard. It should come in the next 30 minutes. I'll take the Navy wavelength.
Sector 1, time is 04:22. Eyes open next 30 minutes.
Navy.
Sector 2.
This is Berman, government. Time is 04:22. Should happen in the next 30 minutes. Can you glide your blimps over the sector without motor sound?
Government, this is Navy. Sector will be blanketed. We'll cut motors and spot sub with radar.
Any report, Willard?
Nothing so far, Chief.
Hey!
What's up, Kramer?
Look, a light. One long flash, two short ones. Quick, give me Marquette's flashlight.
Willard, notify the entire sector on blanket wavelength. Okay, Kramer, give him the flash in return.
This ought to bring him in for the little rendezvous. Give me that mic, Willard. Navy. Navy, this is government. Start your glide and happy hunting on that radar. Here they come, Chief, into the beach. Stand by.
All right, Kramer. Give the signal.
Get that searchlight on. That's good.
There they are, in rubber boats.
Radio the patrol boat to close in. I'm going down and join the reception committee.
Patrol boat, close in.
Down here, Chief. We nabbed the whole boatload.
Good boy, Kramer. Well, well. Welcome to the United States, gentlemen. We're glad to be here to receive you. Put the cuffs on him, Jordan.
One of them got hit, Chief.
Willard, patch him up and have his chums carry him to the ambulance. Hey, what's this? Another rubber boat?
Yeah, they were towing it.
Well, now, let's take a look and see what kind of presents these Nazis were bringing us.
Well, will you look at this, Kramer?
What is it, Chief?
Coal. Coal, of all things.
Boxes of coal.
Coal?
Let me see. Well, how do you like that? Pick these lumps open and I'll bet you'll find dynamite.
Dynamite?
Sure. Why else would they have brought this stuff? A few lumps in the coal supply of a defense plant, and then wham, we got another unaccountable disaster on our hands.
Well, how about that? Boy, that's a new one.
Look, Kramer. Look, a big box of fountain pens.
Fountain pens?
Mm-hmm.
Give me one, Chief.
Yeah.
Well, how do you like this for a poison pen? Watch, Chief. Unscrew the cap like this.
Toss it in the ocean.
Right. Clever people, these Nazis. Incendiary pens ready to write plenty of trouble.
Well, we've spared ourselves plenty of trouble catching these saboteurs before they had a chance to put this stuff to work.
Hey, Chief. Navy reports their blimps have spotted the sub.
Good. I hope they don't miss.
Look, the blimps have their searchlights on.
There's the sub. Caught in the light.
They're trying for a crash dive. Right on the button.
Good. Well, that's the end of that sub. Oh, Johnson, tell Navy we picked up a boatload of Nazi ambassadors of ill will.
Right.
Willard, have your men bring in the stuff and see that our guests are made comfortable.
Yes, sir. All right, boys, let's get busy.
Well, that's that, Kramer.
Think we can call it a night, Chief?
Yep. Not a bad night at that. Well, let's get back to the car.
You know, I was just thinking what a wonderful thing a vacation is.
Mm-hmm. A vacation? Now, wait a minute, Kramer.
Take it easy. I didn't mean for me. I was just thinking of that vacationer who picked up that metal tube and sent it in.
Hmm? What about her?
Well, one fine day when this war's over, we can walk up to her and say, now it can be told. We caught a boatload of saboteurs, sank a sub, and trapped a spy on the killer cycles. Thanks to you.
Henry Fonda, star of tonight's DuPont Cavalcade, will return in just a moment. Now, here is Gain Whitman.
Can you imagine a show being a surprise to the folks who put it on? The DuPont Company put on an exhibit in Wilmington recently that surprised a good many of us who work for the DuPont Company. It was a collection of about 2,000 things used by the armed forces during the war, made of or made with DuPont products. Here's why it surprised some of us. The DuPont Company has plants in several parts of the country. And under military secrecy during the war, the people at one plant often had no idea how materials made at another plant were used. Here they were at last, hundreds upon hundreds of them, out where everyone could see them. Take just one DuPont product, nylon, for instance. At one end of the room were tiny electrical coil forms no bigger than your thumbnail of nylon plastic. At the other stood a gigantic military tire, 9 feet tall and weighing 1,500 pounds, containing enough nylon tire cord to make 11,000 pairs of stockings. There was gleaming nylon rope used to tow gliders behind a mother plane. And we got another surprise when we saw a glider tow rope with a loose braid of white, black, and red wires inside it, a telephone line. The pilots of the plane and glider could chat over the phone, and when the cable stretched, the wire stretched with it. We learned the jungle fighters were dressed almost from top to toe in nylon. Nylon head nets to protect them against mosquitoes. Nylon ponchos to keep them dry. Nylon jungle boots and shoelaces. We saw nylon cot covers and nylon mosquito tents and hammocks. We saw nylon stretchers for wounded men. We saw armor vests of heavy nylon cloth in layers. Cloth so unbelievably strong that it took the place of metal armor. And dozens of other things made of just this one DuPont product, nylon. Well, the war is over, and nylon is on its way back to you now. The DuPont Company is making more nylon yarn than ever before, enough to supply every woman in the United States with more nylon stockings than ever before. As you know, DuPont makes the nylon yarn. Other manufacturers take the yarn and make the things you want, like stockings. It takes time for them to knit the stockings and dye them. It will take more time for the manufacturers to distribute hosiery to the stores. But nylon stockings are on the way. Made of nylon, one of DuPont's better things for better living through chemistry.
And now, here is the star of tonight's DuPont Cavalcade, Henry Fonda.
Thank you, everyone. When you're overseas, you think about one thing. What it's going to be like to come home to America and stay home. What it's going to be like to see the family again after you've been separated by 10,000 miles of ocean and 3 or 4 years. Next week, Cavalcade will present the story of one such reunion in an original drama entitled Children, This Is Your Father. Loretta Young will be the star. I think you'll all want to listen next week at this same time to this absorbing story with lovely Loretta Young as its star.
Cavalcade programs of particular interest to servicemen and women are broadcast overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. The music for tonight's DuPont Cavalcade was composed and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Our Cavalcade play was written by Bernard Fiennes and Russell Hughes. Henry Fonda appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. This is Tom Collins inviting you to listen next week to Loretta Young in Children, This Is Your Father on the Cavalcade of America, brought to you by the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Theater 5, Cavalcade of America, past episodes of this show, and all the other podcasts at RelicRadio.com. You'll also find our Shoutcast stream there and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, give that button a click. Your support makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with Dr. Six Gun and Hallmark Playhouse on another episode of the Relic Radio Show.